WBRI, 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
Dan, you and Dan, I gotta tell you something, buddy. You and I are pretty smart fellas, but we didn't invent these things.
No,
we didn't invent the saying that the Lord will be descending out of the air in the clouds, and we'll be meeting the Lord in the air, and we shall forever be with the Lord. We didn't invent that.
No.
We didn't call out Israel back in the days of Moses. You and I didn't do that.
We're just observing what God has done.
We're observing what God has done. Well stated. And our detractor here, Bob from Birmingham, apparently accuses us of putting two camps of God, the Israelites and the nations. We didn't invent that. It was God. He makes this telling statement that I think will be a good springboard for us today for the truth. And I apologize to our listeners if they're telling us, stop defending the truth, move on. This is going to springboard us into something. We're only defending this to show you, for one, that it can be defended, and for another, that this is a springboard into greater glories. Two camps of God. He says one is either in Christ or not. That's when he says making everything one.
Yeah,
as you said yesterday, he's making everything into one pot. He's not distinguishing all these things. Now, he has a measure of truth here.
Yes.
And that's where I think the confusion lies. Let me read you a passage from Ephesians. I think we're going to be spending a lot of the show in Ephesians today. Either one is in Christ or not. Doesn't matter if you're an, this is a quote from the letter. Quote, doesn't matter if you're an ethnic Jew, African or American, once you believe in Christ, you're in Christ.
Yep.
Okay?
Yes, great.
Once you believe in Christ, you're in Christ. Now, but wait, that's true to a point. I'm going to go to Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 19. Yet now, in Christ Jesus, you, who's he speaking to? The nations. You, who once were far off. That's what we've been teaching. At one time, Israel, the nations, had no revelation of God. You who were once far off are become near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace who makes both one. I'm going to stop there, Dan. He makes both, the Jews and the Greeks, one.
Mm.
All right, now I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Let's start with verse 12, 1 Corinthians. For even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the one body being many are one body, thus also is Christ. For in one spirit also we all are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all are made to imbibe one spirit. Now I want to go to Galatians 3, verses 25 through 28. Galatians 3, starting with verse 25. Now, at the coming of faith, we are no longer under an escort, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For whoever are baptized into Christ, put on Christ, in whom there is no Jew nor yet Greek. Stop there. It certainly appears, Dan, in the body of Christ that the distinctions are missing. And he says we're still splitting God into two camps, when God, through Paul, is saying that both Jew and Greek are now made into one camp. But now I want to go to Galatians 2:7. Yes. Paul speaking. On the contrary, perceiving that I have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision.
Oh, Peter and Paul, they don't follow what they say.
No.
If they're all one.
Even as the body of Christ is being called out, and there is neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ, at the very same time, we have another man sitting at the table with Paul. And these two men were contemporaries. They sat at the same table together at one occasion in Antioch. And at the same time was Peter. And what did our Lord say of Peter? When he asked the Lord, "We have followed you. We have followed you. What will be our reward?"
"We will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, does that mean the body of Christ?
Well,
where it all is one? Or is the 12 tribes just some figurative thing? You see how the lengths they'll go to screw this up?
Apparently, Peter didn't get the message that
no.
there's neither Jew nor Greek. Either that, or...
Or, as it says here, "For he who operates in Peter for the apostleship of the circumcision operates in me also for the nations." Two different operations.
Two different groups.
And that's, one group, there's no distinction.
That's
in
right.
The other,
there is.
Thank you.
It's as simple as that. And this man is not saying that. Bob, in Birmingham, you're not seeing that.
And in Galatians, what's going on? The anathema that is pronounced in chapter 1, God was operating in both at the same time, both
yes.
Peter and Paul. To try to impose God's operations on the wrong group is anathema.
That's right.
And what is this man doing today? The teaching, if you don't recognize the principle of rightly dividing the word of truth, you are imposing something for another group on the present day.
And
that's the anathema.
And what he's doing, Bob, from Birmingham, he's wiping out Peter's expectation.
And?
He's negating.
And so he's negating ours as well.
You're right.
Because when you mix Peter and Paul, you have nothing.
You either have to lift Peter up to meet Paul or take Paul down to meet Peter. And if you keep them in their proper place, I want to quote that verse just so people know we're not pulling this out of a hat somewhere. Matthew 19:28. Turn with me, if you're not driving, to Matthew 19:28. "Yet Jesus said to them, Verily I'm saying to you that you who follow me, in the Renaissance, whenever the Son of Mankind should be seated on the throne of his glory," Dan, this is future, because he is not seated on
the
throne.
He's not really coming literally.
Uh-huh.
It's a figurative coming.
Yes. Well, apparently Jesus didn't know that because he's speaking as if he believes.
Well, you got to go to the Lord Jesus didn't go to seminary.
Oh,
so
okay. He actually, it sounds like the Son of Mankind actually believes this is going to happen.
Yeah.
That
he got straightened out by the church fathers.
Oh, good.
They fixed it for him.
Oh, well, thank God for the church fathers. "When the Son of Mankind comes to be seated on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
No, they won't.
Quit it.
No, he's not.
Quit it.
Can't be.
Well,
that can't mean what it says.
That can't mean, that's right. And this is what you have been saying all along, that if you don't make a distinguish between the two evangels, you have to modify
exactly
this verse to make it fit with Paul's verse. Because, folks, we have just pointed out to you a deadly contradiction in the Word of God. And yet the word doesn't contradict itself. Either Jesus was wrong to tell Peter that he's going to sit on one of 12 thrones judging what? 12 tribes of who? Israel. Or Paul is really messed up when he says there is neither Jew nor Greek. Which is it? You have to be ready to give an answer to those who inquire of you. How would you explain this? Somebody comes up to you and says the Bible contradicts itself. Paul says neither Jew nor Greek, and yet our Lord, who apparently knew what he was talking about, said that Peter and his 11 friends were going to sit on 12 thrones judging Israelites in a coming kingdom.
That's figurative, though.
Yeah.
It's happening now. It happened already.
That's what we're told. We're told that it's figurative.
I'm going to give you an illustration. I wrote this little story down in the first page of my scriptures here. Certain thieves robbed a nobleman of all his silverware. The next day, as they were getting ready to sell the silver to the pawn shops, they noticed that the nobleman's name was engraved on the silver. The ringleader then said, "We have spent time and energy only to find ourselves encumbered by a dead weight. Christian robbers have stolen from God's treasure house of truth, stealing and appropriating to themselves promises for others, and in so doing, they stripped others of their blessings and cheated themselves."
That's pretty serious crime.
And that is, we have Christian robbers today who are robbing from Israel and not enriching themselves. When you mix Peter and Paul, you mess the message up.
On both sides.
On both sides. You don't get it right at all.
No.
And now here's my question. For the man who wrote that letter, I would have to ask him, sir, are you a believer? What do you believe?
What do you believe in?
Are you believing in the accomplishment of Christ? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins? That he rose? Do you believe that you're justified through the finished work of Christ? Or do you have some hodgepodge mixed message about repentance and the kingdom and whatever? Ask of, you know, these the people I know who are post-millennialists, they have no gospel. There is no good news. It's not about Christ. It's about some figurative kingdom. No message of the cross work of Jesus Christ. The cross work of Jesus Christ was just something that set things up so we can get a good head start to bring in the kingdom. That's all it is in post-millennialism.
And Paul was so concerned about this in the book of Galatians that he uses one of the strongest words you will find in Scripture, anathema. He says, if anyone, I shouldn't paraphrase it, we should go to it, if anyone brings you a gospel other than the one we have brought, let him
that's,
be anathema.
That's a key, by the way. That's a key in Galatians 1. And let's turn there. Paul says this. Verse 8. Paul says, but if ever we also or a messenger out of heaven should be bringing an evangel to you beside which we bring to you, and the we is referring to Paul and those with him, let him be anathema. As we have declared before and at present, I am saying again, if anyone is bringing you an evangel beside that which you accepted, let him be anathema. That's the key. Paul's saying, if somebody brings good news to you, different than what I preached and what you accepted, anathema. In other words, if someone came to these Galatians and tried to oppose on him, the circumcision evangel?
Yeah, and Paul says, even if an angel from heaven, this is radical, even if an angel from heaven brings you this gospel,
yeah.
So if an angel from heaven could do it and they were to resist it, then certainly if Peter were to come and say, no, you're not one in Christ, you nations, Paul has been telling you a lie that there's neither Jew nor Greek. No, that's not true. You have to still keep these distinguished
differences. If Satan were to preach the gospel today, he would preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If Satan were to preach a gospel today, he would say, repent and be baptized. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If Satan were to preach a gospel today, he would preach one of those. Why? Because he's the master deceiver, and he knows the way to deceive people is taking truth out of context.
Out of time and out of context. And that's what we have today. And again, Paul was so against it that he pronounced anathema on it, which means cursed be you, I believe.
We make it simple. Rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the simplicity of the gospel.
We're going to distinguish these for you in a little more perfectly tomorrow, I hope, and to help you see the differences that God himself has made. I'd like to go to Ephesians because this man mocks. He uses the phrase, far off, never, never land, as if we have some pie in the sky expectation. We don't. We have an expectation based on faith, based on a pronouncement of God. God willing, we're going to bring you that tomorrow. Be here.